Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the first installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. I am your host, Christian Adams, known to many as Rocket, making my debut tonight. Sorry for the temporal delay. Been going through some internet wireless issues as of lately. I meant to start my show a week ago, but I had connection problems at the time, so it's kind of been on and off as of lately. But I am here tonight, and I'm ready to get started. Now, as you know, it's around this time of year where it's the NFL offseason, and it's quite an interesting offseason. And in this case, this has been no different compared to off seasons we've had in the past. And I want people to know that there's been a lot of good things, there's been a lot of bad things happening, and we will get to that later. I also wanted to take the opportunity to say congrats to everyone who's been taking part of the Olympics. It's been quite highly anticipated much this year in all the major sports that have been going down. I want to say congratulations to Michael Phelps for doing his thing. He is now retiring officially. He went out as a champion. I'm very, very, very happy for him. Always been a big fan of the guy and his accomplishments. I want to say to Gabrielle Douglas, I want to say thank you for showing the world your talents and your capabilities, even though people will continue to hate on you. That's just the way it is. When you got that much talent, people are going to give you a hard time. That's just the way it is. And unfortunately, this has been no different. People are going to find ways to talk about people, you know, even the stupidest of things, which absolutely makes no sense to me because she's young, she's 16, she's, you know, she's got the future, you know, staring right in front of her, you know what I'm saying? So I just kind of find that funny how people are going to come up with things like you're going to talk about somebody's hair. I mean, seriously? Come on now. That's like me going to like a certain shopping store and talking about a certain product that doesn't need to be talked about, and it works. You know what I'm saying? It's unfortunate, but what can you do? So I want to say you keep up the great work. We're all proud of you. I'm definitely proud of you, and continue to dazzle us. You know, continue to dazzle us. To the NBA team, you know, there's been questions about the guys' defense, the inability to shut down teams on the inside. Well, think about it. Some of those players on that team aren't necessarily known for their defense, so that's an issue. But you had a guy like a Dwight Howard on your team to kind of help out the likes of Tyson Chandler, then who knows? Maybe that defense would be better. Speaking of Dwight Howard, it's been quite a roller coaster ride for this cat. I mean, first he says he wants to be traded, then he wants out, you know, then he wants back in. I don't know what to make of it. It's like a zigzag roller coaster, kind of like the corkscrew at Cedar Point. I don't know if that coaster still exists anymore or not, but you get my picture. My thing is, if you are a player who comes out and says you want to be traded, then fortunately, most likely, you're going to be traded. That's just the way it is. You know, you made your bed, you got to lay in it. I think what it's going to come down to is what Orlando can get out of such a lucrative deal and what can they do to better their team and many different aspects of the positions that they need on their roster. So if you're going to trade into the team like the Lakers, you know, you want to get something in return, whether that's Andrew Bynum or Pau Gasol, anybody. You want to be able to get the best deal possible. Whatever works for your team, that's what you need to work on. And I can honestly tell you, I think Orlando should trade the guy. I don't know to who, but I think they should just put him out there and see what they can get. Because eventually, you're going to have to go through this again because he only signed a one-year extension offer. So he's going to be a free agent after this year anyway. So think about that. I mean, I would trade the guy while I still can, while I still have the opportunity to get some value. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about value, and it's all about what can you do to bring in certain players that fit your systems, fit your schemes, and which teams are willing to part with which players. And draft picks, too. So take that for what it's worth. Now, I will say I haven't been a big fan of the Miami Heat, never have, but I will give them props. You know, I will give LeBron his credit. he won. I still think that the NBA Finals was a little suspect with the officiating. But that's my opinion, and I'm just going to stick with that. You can agree with me, you can disagree with me, but let's be honest, there was a lot of suspecting officiating in that finals matchup, and it's just unfortunate. But you know, what can you do? What can you do? The best thing you can do is just, you know, pick yourself up, and if you're the likes of Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook, you just pick yourself back up and come back next year with a vengeance, and I think they will. I've noticed that we've made quite some moves so far in the NBA offseason, particularly with point guards. Maybe a few have decided to stick with their teams. Others have decided to move on. I noticed that Deron Williams decided to remain a Net. I think that was the right move. My thing is that team looks like that they're going to be built for the future just for the simple fact that they got their point guard. They brought in Joe Johnson in the trade. They tried to get Dwight Howard, but they just don't have the money. And when you don't have the money, you know, you got to face reality. It's just a move that's not going to happen. I mean, because think about it. They signed Williams, well, they re-signed him to a $100 million contract. They took on Joe Johnson's contract from Atlanta, so he's making a ton of money. They re-signed Gerald Wallace, and I think he's making somewhere around $20, $30 million, somewhere between that. Can you afford the likes of Dwight Howard? I mean, how ridiculous would that type of contract be? But they did what they could, and they're just going to have to work with what they got. But it's not over. It's not over. I wouldn't officially rule them out of the sweepstakes, but you have to face reality and say sometimes things like that is just not going to work. So take that for what it's worth. I see Jeremy Lin has decided to move on to the Houston Rockets, the team that originally drafted him a year ago. That's unfortunate if you're a Knicks fan, but, you know, think about this. A lot of people say they're going to miss him. They're going to miss his tenacity. They're going to miss his enthusiasm. They're going to miss his quickness, his mental toughness. But he was one of those players where in certain big games, he didn't necessarily show up. And I saw the game he had against Miami broadcasted nationwide. He struggled. And because of that, the whole team struggled. I seriously think if he played against Miami in the first round, it probably wouldn't make much of a difference. Unfortunately to say that, but I'm just speaking the truth. You have to have a certain level of great enthusiasm if you're going to be a point guard in this game. And I think a lot of us have yet to see that. I mean, he came in, he performed admirably at times, but where was the consistency? You have to have consistency, and when he went down with that injury, that was it. That was it. So it's unfortunate, but, you know, what can you do? I would tell you right off the bat that you have to have a certain level of, you know, mental toughness, and you have to have a certain level of great player enthusiasm. So you do what you can to the best of your abilities, and it's just unfortunate, just for the simple fact that, you know, point guards over the years, they will move on to teams just like that. And we've already seen it happen this year. So to Steve Nash getting traded to L.A., good move for the Lakers. He's up there. I think he's 38 years old, but he still has something left in the tank. And who knows, he could be that level-headed point guard that Kobe Bryant has needed for so many years. And who knows, they could get back to the finals again. As a Lakers fan, I hope they do. I'll be pulling for him again as usual. As far as the NBA draft is concerned, I like some of the moves that some of the players made. Me being a Pistons fan, I have to say Andre Drummond could be the best draft pick the Pistons have made since maybe in the past decade. I like the guy's size. I mean, 6'11", somewhere between 250 and 275. He's big, he's quick, but like most big men, he does have to work on his fundamentals. He does have to work on his post game. He certainly needs to work on his free throws. And he also has to work on, you know, even his defense as well. You know, you can never be dominant at a certain aspect. You can always get better. And I emphasize that to everybody. No matter what position you play, no matter what sport it is that you play, you can never, ever be better enough. So take that for what it's worth. You know, take that for what it's worth, and, you know, you have to have the opportunity if you're going to, you know, do what you can and be better at it. So that's what I think. That's what I think. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the NBA upcoming season is going to have in store for us. We're going to have a full season, so that's going to be good. That's always a great start. And I also think that what could end up happening is it's going to be a race again. It's going to be a race again. Yeah, Miami won the title, but I'm not going to put them as the front runner to come back and win it all again. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Well, like I said, it's been quite a sad year in sports, unfortunately. And if you're members of Penn State University, New Orleans Saints, or the NFL, or even my hometown team, the Detroit Lions, it's been quite sad with some of the bad things that have been happening. I'm going to start off with Penn State first, because to me, it's the saddest. It really is. And when I think about the whole situation involving Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky, and all those other guys who were part of the personnel, front office, it's been unfortunate because this is an era. I'm talking Joe Paterno here, that has lasted since the 1960s, really, when he took over as their head coach in 1961. And I think about how long-lasting that has been, the milestones this guy has set, the years he's coached. I mean, it's been quite a long ride. And I will say, wow. I mean, when I first found out about this situation, I didn't want to believe it because, I mean, think about it. Joe Paterno seemed like a nice guy, a guy that, is, you know, keeps his head on straight. Wow. Just utterly speechless. I don't know what to make of the situation. It's unfortunate. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. As the whole story continued to progress and we started to get more news and more information on everything, I just kept thinking about what this could do for the future for the Penn State Nittany Lions program. And there has been talk about them canceling the program. They already got rid of the statue. Joe Paterno's no longer here with us for obvious reasons. You know, that type of thing could put a strain on somebody. Hey, you know, it is what it is. Sandusky, I think, should do life behind bars because, for one, they kept this a secret for so many years, and it's just sick. That's just something you don't do. I mean, seriously, how could you do something like that? I mean, we're talking a man somewhere between 50 and 60 years old messing around with these 10-year-old kids, and it's sick and disgusting. And when I listened to him, when I first listened to him on the air, I just thought that it was disgusting. I just felt like he sounded like a guy that was a sicko, you know, somebody who needed to be coddled or something like that. Unfortunate. Very, very, very unfortunate. And, you know, it's quite ridiculous how stuff like that can happen. Now, I will be the first to tell you that, you know, as a fan, you just don't do those things. You just don't do those things. So, it's unfortunate. I got to say to the Penn State organization, good luck as you carry on. You got a new head coach. You're going to have a new starting tailback who was arguably your best player. It's a new era. It's a new era, and it's time to move on. And it's going to be a struggle for that organization for maybe the next 2 or 3 years because people are going to have issues about transferring over. We've already had people, you know, players leave the organization and move on to other college teams. So we'll see what happens this time around. The New Orleans Saints. Unfortunate. I go back to the 2009 season. I was a Saints fan cheering for them that year. I wanted to see them win a Super Bowl because they never done it. They had gone so many years. Up until 1987, they never had a winning season. When Jim Mora Jr. came over, well, Jim Mora Sr., sorry about that, when he came over and took over the team in the late 80s, he made them a much better defense. I mean, their linebacker core was enormous. They sent four linebackers to the Pro Bowl. Four. Think about that. Four linebackers to the Pro Bowl. That may never happen again. That may never happen again. And I think about that little era, even though they never got to a Super Bowl back then, you just kind of saw what Tina could be for the future. Then they slipped back into mediocrity when Mike Ditka took over, made that infamous Ricky Williams blockbuster trade, and then they brought in Aaron Brooks to be their starting quarterback. That didn't really work out too much. And then, you know, they signed Drew Brees as a free agent, drafted Reggie Bush, brought in Sean Payton as their new head coach, and a lot of people felt like from that 2006 season, this team was poised to win a Super Bowl, and they did just a few years later. And it was just pandemonium for that city. I can imagine. I have some friends down there who I spoke to a couple people, and they just told me, man, you should be down here partying with us because it was such a big thing to happen to that city, the biggest thing that ever happened to that city professionally as far as their sports teams are concerned. And I believe them. I believe them. And I think about the history of that football team. And now this whole bounty scandal comes out, and it's unfortunate because Greg Williams was like the main recipient of it. And now he apparently, well, he moved on to the St. Louis Rams this offseason, but now he's not going to coach for them. We may never see him coach again. And that's just unfortunate. It's very unfortunate because I think about the toughness he put on that team. And he did make them a little bit of a better defense because they got after quarterbacks. They got after players. I mean, they were hard-hitting. They were wild savages on the football field. I've seen it. I've seen it. You know, I've witnessed it up close and personal. I've seen what that team can do. And as far as some of their players are concerned, you know, Jonathan Vilma being suspended for the whole year, that's just going to be tough. That's just going to be tough, and we'll see what they do. We'll see what they do. Now, apparently, these past few days, I've noticed, according to reports, that there are talks that they could reduce his suspension to 8 games. So instead of missing the whole season, he could only miss half of it. Well, my thing is, if you're suspended, you want to try and get back on the football field as soon as possible. You know, and if something like that happens, then so be it. You know, you win some, you lose some, you just move on. It is what it is. But I will be the first to tell you that, you know, I want more visual evidence about what's going on. But from based on what I've seen, that's pretty unfortunate. That's pretty unfortunate that the whole thing has happened. Now, some of the other players who had been suspended and moved on to other teams, too bad for them. But I will say that it's going to be a tough year for the Saints to bounce back from because of everything that's been going on. When you lose your head coach for a whole season, when you lose your general manager for the first 8 games, when you lose your interim head coach for the first 6 games, yeah, that says something that's going to be quite difficult. And we'll see what they can do. We'll see if they can bounce back from it, but if you're the Atlanta Falcons in that division, the NFC South, you're going to have a chance to really, really make some noise and really challenge the Saints in that division. Because keep in mind, the Falcons won a division 2 years ago. They were 13-3 at the number one seed in the NFC, but they were knocked out in the playoffs by the Packers. But the point is, that is the one team in that division that can't compete with the Saints. They can match up with them well on offense. And they're going to have the opportunities. Not to mention the Saints have also lost a few pieces this offseason. Carl Nix, who to me was their best offensive lineman. Robert Meacham, you know, they lost him over to the Buffalo Bills as a free agent. So they did lose a few pieces, and they're going to lose some more few pieces. But anytime you have Drew Brees, you always are going to have a chance to compete. Always. So, you know, you can never rule them out of anything. I mean, Drew Brees set a milestone last year, and, you know, he did it admirably well. I mean, that was just a wonderful performance that he put on. So we'll see what they do. far as my team goes, the team that the Saints beat in the postseason, wild card round last year, the Detroit Lions, well, discipline is always going to be quite a challenge with young teams, especially young teams that bring in these players who are not used to winning on a professional level. You also bring in these guys who, you know, some of them may not have had success with other teams. Some of these guys have been on this team for so many years and they never got a chance to get success, unfortunately. You're a guy like Jeff Backus, Dominic Raiola, who up until this year, they've never played in the postseason before. They have been part of this franchise for over a decade, and up until last year, they never been part of a team with a winning record or having a winning season. So I think about what those guys have gone through. I think about what's been going on now. And I got to say, you got to keep your head up. You can't afford to do stupid things, especially in this business, because you will lose your job. They say you can lose your job for many reasons, but you can lose your job if you do stupid stuff. So take that for what it's worth. Cutting Aaron Berry, the cornerback, was the right move. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how talented the guy is. It was the right move. Trust me. To me, that's just the whole situation as far as, well, what would you do if he was still on the team? You know, would you cut him? You know, would you trade him? I mean, what would you do? As far as I'm concerned, like I said, they made the right move. And, you know, the guy has some talent. But when you do stupid things and you continue to do stupid things and you make a public apology saying you're going to change your life, you're going to change your ways, and you go back to reverting back to those situations again, something needs to be done. Something needs to be done. So as far as I'm concerned, they did the right thing. So I say good luck to Aaron Berry and his future endeavors, and we'll see what they can do. We'll see whichever team picks him up can do, and hopefully he'll have his head on straight. As far as Nick Fairley and Mikel LeSure are concerned, look, you guys are high draft picks. You guys got great talent, offense, defense. You got to remember that there's a lot of expectations on you to be a part of this franchise to eventually help this team get over the mental and even physical hump. So, you know, get better, you know, mentally. You know, stop doing stupid stuff. And understand that you have responsibilities now on this football team. And you have to do what you have to do. You got to keep your head in the game. And you got to keep your head at a certain level. You cannot continue to do stupid things. Because, trust me, rest assured, if you do, you're gonna lose your job. You're going to lose your job. And as far as I'm concerned, I felt like they did the right thing. I felt like they did the right thing. So take that for what it's worth and, you know, move on. Move on. Move on. Well, like I said, tonight, this is our debut show, and I'm still kind of working the kinks out a little bit, so bear with me. But I'm having fun doing this. The call-in number is 347-327-9586, and we can talk about things like this, and we can talk about what our main event topic will be as far as the upcoming NFL season. Like I said, expectations are going to be high, and a lot of these teams are going to have a chance to really, really jump another level. So do what you can to the best of your abilities. All you players out there that are a part of sports in general and having opportunities to do what you're doing. Because rest assured, you can get better. You will get better if you believe in yourself. But you got to stay level-headed and you can't be doing stupid stuff. And that's just real. That's just real. So, again, I want to say congratulations to everybody taking part of the Olympics, win or lose. You know, USA, we're doing some big things. I am so happy with what's been going on. like I said, Gabrielle Douglas has just provided inspiration. And you can never, ever, ever have enough inspiration. And you're never too old or too young to be inspired by anybody. And if you're a young fan, especially a young fan who's inspired to be an athlete one day, who's inspired to take part in sports or Olympic sports or professional sports or whatever, moments like this are just wonderful. Moments like this are just incredible. Think about it. I mean, how can this not be inspiring to you or to anybody for that matter? Are you serious? I mean, think about it, dude. Think about it. This is wonderful. This is just wonderful. I'm head over heels. You know what I'm saying? amazed. I'm just amazed at what's been going on. Just amazing. Just amazing. And I will continue to wish her nothing but the best, just for the simple fact that she is doing some wonderful things. And, you know, when you have a chance to do great things and you have a chance to really, really set yourself higher than before, believe me when I say you are going to be on your way to superstardom. You're going to be on your way. And she's got my prayers, my blessings, my support, encouragement, everything. Because this is something that should uplift people. It really is. So, you know, do what you can. Do what you can, young lady. You know, I'm pulling for you. You know, we're taking calls at 347-327-9586. This is our debut of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. I'm here with you until 9 p.m., and we're going to be getting ready to start our main event topic within the next half an hour. And I want to say real quickly to my former co-host, I used to be part of this show called the Black Rocket Blast. It was named after me and my former business partner, Freddie Blatt, who in which I decided to move on because I felt like I wanted to be more wide open as far as sports is concerned. Because I feel like sports doesn't get enough credit today. It's been a wild, crazy era in sports right now, but sports is sports. It's still great. It's still entertaining. It's still fun to watch. And we are, a lot of us, are diehard sports fans. And believe me when I say, sports doesn't get enough credit today, so take it for what it's worth. But I want to say big ups to Freddie Black. Big ups to the current co-host now at the Black Rocket Blast, Andre Harris, a.k.a. Mr. X, and Angela T. Jones, a.k.a. Superwoman. You guys are doing a great job week after week. It's gotten even better. I got to say, it's better than when I was there, honestly. You guys have really, really held down the fort. I'm proud of y'all. Keep doing what you do. I always knew that the Black Rocket Blast would jump off the superstar and you guys would do some great things. And I used to have my segment on there, which would be about 20 to 30 minutes, a segment which will require, you know, sports talk and stuff like this. But I never got a chance to expand on it much, unfortunately. So I'm glad I had my opportunity to be on there. I enjoyed my time there. And, you know, eventually you got to move on. Got to move on. So, but yeah, you know, it was a fun era. It was a fun era. It was a fun era. so, yes, I got to say to those guys, keep up the great work. And you can listen to their show every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Black Rocket Blast is the name of the show, BLAQE, my apologies, Rocket, R-O-C-K-E-T, Blast. You can also find them on Facebook. The Rocket Sports Breakdown is in the process of having a new Facebook page, which will be created within the next few days. But this is me. This is me. This is something I've been wanting to do, and I'm glad I have the opportunity to do it. So let me kind of update you guys and tell yourselves a little bit about me. My name is Christian Adams. I go by Rocket. Rocket is my nickname. I'm a comedian, actor, freelance sports writer, freelance script editor, internet radio personality now, background vocalist. I'm also a former DJ. I'm also a, believe it or not, I'm also a talent coordinator. I'm also a casting director. I'm also an upcoming producer, filmmaker, co-director. I'm doing a lot of things right now in the entertainment industry, particularly up here in my home state of Michigan. I've been part of the industry since 2007. I've done a handful of plays. Most notably, I've been a part of many productions. Vanessa Lynn's Boss Lady, I've had the pleasure of doing that, the original. I was also in Angels on Assignment that we did December of 2011. I got a chance to work with Robin Givens for the first time, and hopefully that won't be the last. I've also was part of a recent play called Shady, which I was part of the original and the encore presentation. So I want to say congratulations to all my castmates. We did a phenomenal job this past weekend up at the Redford Theater in Detroit. I've been in a handful of films as well. Most notably, right now I'm working on The Goblin Lady alongside Giles Key, Deion Robinson, a couple great guys who are also helping me on my own upcoming project called Love Has a Mind of Its Own. We're getting ready to start shooting that within the next week or two. Big ups to all my actors, my castmates, my crew people that are going to be a part of this production. I'm excited. I can't wait to get started. This is going to be big. I've also was involved in this movie called Why Do Men Cheat that just premiered at the Millennium Center in Southfield this past weekend. So I want to say congratulations to everybody who was a part of that production, to everybody who was involved in that, cast, crew. Thank you. Thank you all who came out and supported. I wish I could have been there. I had to play to do that night. Can't be in two places at once unless I clone myself. I was also involved in this film called Mitch Albom's Have a Little Faith. Mitch Albom is someone who has really, really inspired me to become a writer. So I want to say congratulations to him and to all of his success, to everything he's done up until this point, to everything he'll continue to do as his life and his careers continue. The guy's phenomenal. I've had the pleasure of meeting him. Just a wonderful person. He's beyond awesomeness. So I want to say congratulations to him and to what was a stellar production. We had fun shooting that that film. I've also have been featured in a couple TV shows, one of them being Detroit 187. I was very fortunate to do an episode. I was happy about that. I'm a former student of Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. That's where I first learned to get into the radio business, really. I went there from September 2010, and I finished up May of last year. Had a great time, met some great people, and that really inspired me to get into the radio business. So I'm happy to have that opportunity. It was just wonderful, really, to be a part of that show and to just, have the moments that we had. And I can tell you right off the bat, that 8-month era really, really opened the doors for me, more doors, really, and I made more connections. So I want to say big ups to every Spex Howard alum, the ones who came, the ones who went, the ones who are there now, and the ones who will be there in the near future. The Rocket Sports Breakdown is a new project of mine. This is my baby. This is one of my babies. This is something I have been wanting to start for a while. I kind of got delayed recently because I always kept myself busy with a handful of productions and projects. Sometimes I've overdone it, but I'm young. I'm 26 years old. I feel like I can keep it going. I feel like I can do a whole lot. Life is short. And I say that because you never know what tomorrow may bring. You never know what the next hour, even the next 5 minutes will bring. Sometimes all it takes is one split second, and the next thing you know, who knows what can transpire from there on to the next point. So make the best of the opportunity. That's what I say to people. That's what I say to people. And I want others out there to understand we do what we do because that's how we make our mark. This is why we do what we do, so we can have these type of opportunities. So, again, so congratulations to all of these athletes right now. And I got to say, I'm going to send another shout-out to Allison Felix, who won the women's 200 meters. She finished in second place in 2004. She finished second place in 2008, and this time she finally broke through. She won. So congratulations. It's just a wonderful time right now to be a part of these Olympics. And I'm just amazed at what I've been witnessing. This has just been wonderful. Everyone from Michael Phelps to Gabby Douglas to now Allison Felix, this is just wonderful, very, very wonderful. Continuing on with the Olympics, I got to say to the USA basketball team, my favorite player who's still playing right now, Kobe Bryant, finally had another monster game. He, despite being 33, you know, he's the oldest player on the roster by 4 years. And, you know, he hadn't really broken through up until today as far as the Olympics is concerned. But up against Australia, he scored 20 second-half points to help the team reach the Olympic semifinals. So I want to say congratulations to Kobe for, you know, doing what he's always been doing, playing big, hitting the clutch shots, doing what he's supposed to be doing, and carrying his team. And like him or not, and trust me, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't like the guy, but you cannot deny what he has accomplished. Now, I will say this. I've never been a LeBron James fan, but I will never take away from what he's accomplished, but I will say that, you know, he finally broke through and won himself a ring, and I have no choice but to respect that. So, you know, I pay my respects to the guy. I'm happy for what he did. Good for him, and, you know, let's see if he can win another one. But Kobe Bryant has always been my player, you know, just for the simple fact that I enjoy watching him. You know, growing up, I was always a big Michael Jordan fan. And these two guys, Jordan and Kobe, my two favorite players ever. And to throw in a third, Magic Johnson. Love playing, love watching him play. I just find myself as a diehard sports fan. This is one of the reasons why I started this show. I started this show because I've always been a big sports fan. I can conversate in sports with anybody. Anybody. A lot of the conversations have been good. Some have been bad. You know, everybody has their opinion. Everybody believes in what they believe in. However, you know, this is just one subject I love to talk about. And I can talk about it for hours. I can go on about sports. You know, I'm always updating sports stats on Facebook, especially during, you know, big sports games, you know, whether it's baseball, hockey, or anything. That's what I love doing. It's what I love doing, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I'm going to move over to the NBA real quickly. I'm going to jump away from the Olympics real quickly. I got to say congratulations to Terry Stotts, who is now the new head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers. They brought him in just a couple days ago. Yesterday was the day. It was the last NBA coaching vacancy. Up until yesterday, the Trail Blazers were the only team who did not have a head coach. Stotts had two head coaching stints with the Hawks and Bucks. He has a career record of 115 and 168. No, it's not very good. No, it's not very good at all. He also spent the previous four seasons as an assistant head coach with the Dallas Mavericks, so he's been working under Rick Carlisle, who started off as a former assistant himself, worked his way up, most notably was the head coach of the Pistons. He was the guy that brought the Pistons back to the playoffs when they went back to the red, white, and blue uniforms in 2001. And then after he left, he was fired after two seasons, went on to coach the Pacers. He was one of the coaches who was a part of that infamous brawl at the Palace, which to me was one of the most infamous moments in sports history, especially professional sports. But also, even more notably, he was the head coach of the NBA champions from a year ago, the Dallas Mavericks, who beat the highly anticipated Miami Heat in the finals. He got his ring for the first time as a head coach, so congratulations to him on that. But back to Terry Stotts. He's 54 years old, who basically the Trailblazers, they've just been a team that's been in a disarray sort of, just for the simple fact that last year, Nate McMillan, who a lot of people felt like was going to be a fine head coach for the team, was fired towards the end of the year. Caleb Canales, who he served as the interim head coach and finished 8-15 towards the end of the year. The Trailblazers got out to a good start last year. If I can remember, they were in first place in the Western Conference standings. They had the best record for a moment, for a brief time, and then a lot of people thought that they was going to go on to the postseason. Brandon Roy retired before last year. Now he's back. He's looking for a team. It looks like he's about to sign with somebody if he hasn't signed with someone yet. So I want to say, again, you know, congrats to Stotts. Looks like he's about to get another opportunity. And that's what it's all about. It's all about making the best of your opportunities. And he's going to have this opportunity right here. He's going to have his work cut out for him. So we'll see what he can do. We'll see what he can do. I want to get into some more NBA headlines real quickly while I'm still on the subject right now. About to begin my main event topic within the next 15, 20 minutes. Cavaliers, the Cleveland Cavaliers, sorry about that, signed former Jazz guard and forward C.J. Miles. Dwayne Wade continues to rehab from his knee surgery in Miami. Otherwise, he would be on that USA team right now. The Bulls, they finally signed their first-round pick on Marcus Teague. So that's pretty good. I see that some of these NBA players have finally signed their contracts with these teams, which is good, which is very, very, very good. So again, you know, these players and these coaches who have a chance to move on to other teams, it's all about opportunity. You're going to hear me preach this countlessly and effortlessly. Again, you know, this is the way it is. This is the way it should be. You know, when you have an opportunity to do something, you need to take advantage of it. And I feel like with these guys, they're going to have opportunities to better themselves and do what they have to do in order to get over the physical and mental hump to elevate themselves to where things may not have worked out from their previous teams or previous organizations. So, you know, we'll see what they can do. We'll see what they can do. Again, like I said, you're going to hear me say this a lot. Make the best of the opportunities, because if you don't, someone else will. Someone else will. So, again, Terry Stotts, C.J. Miles, and all these rookie players, these rookies that are signing with these teams, congratulations. Congratulations. So, you know, continue to do what you do because, you know, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. And the way I see it, you have to continue to do what you do. So Stotts may not have had great stints in Atlanta or Milwaukee, but he's going to have another shot in Portland. To my team, the Pistons, I got to say real quickly, keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going. I had to throw that in there. I got to let people know where I stand. I got to let people know where I stand. Well, I'm going to get into some quick scores real quick over in Major League Baseball. Right now, let's see, what do we have here? The Milwaukee Brewers defeated the Cincinnati Reds 3-2. The Cleveland Indians defeated the Minnesota Twins 6-2. Texas is leading in Boston right now 10-9. The Cubs and Padres, they're in the fifth inning, scoring this game over there. The Angels and Athletics, that game has been finished. The Oakland A's win that one 9-8. The Braves are up 4-1 in Philly, second inning. In fact, the Braves just scored all four of their runs in the second inning. Cardinals and Pirates down over there in Pittsburgh. The Pirates are up 3-2. They're in the bottom of the second inning. The Yankees are up 2-0 in Detroit right now. They're in the top of the third. The Miami Marlins are up 3-0 in New York over the Mets. They're in the bottom of the second inning. Seattle Mariners are down 2-0 to the Baltimore Orioles. They're in the top of the second inning. The other games that are coming up, you got the Washington and Houston, Toronto and Tampa Bay, San Francisco against St. Louis, and Kansas City and the Chicago White Sox, and Colorado Rockies against the L.A. Dodgers later on tonight. So that's a quick update with the baseball scores. And speaking of baseball, I'm laughing at this. I'm laughing. And a lot of you are probably going to laugh at this too. Barry Bonds came out and said that he feels like no question he should be in the Hall of Fame. Let me tell you something. When you cheat the game, all of your milestones should be taken away. Yeah, he may have been the greatest hitter to ever play the game, but the guy cheated. And for what? When you cheat the game, that tells me one of two things. Number one, you don't have faith in yourself or your abilities to play whatever particular sport that it is you're playing. And I think that's just utterly ridiculous for him to come out and make those comments. Now, I find it funny back then when he spent his early career in Pittsburgh with the Pirates. He wasn't widely known as he was when he moved over to San Francisco and played with the Giants. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you come out and make these comments knowing that you took steroids or whatever. I just think that is just utterly ridiculous for him to make those comments. And I can guarantee you he will not get in on the first ballot. I can promise you he will not get in on the first ballot. wow, I know some of you are probably laughing right now. That's just unbelievable how something like that can happen. And as far as I'm concerned, he may never get in. Because my thing is this. Some of these guys who are eligible, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, no, unfortunately. Now, the guys who I would vote for, Curt Schilling, he gets my vote, no question about it. In fact, he should be a first ballot. He should be a first ballot. Craig Biggio, who is another fine player, his case may be kind of neck and neck, maybe first or second ballot, but he'll definitely get in one day. I'll vote for Mike Piazza. I don't know if he's going to make it on the first ballot or not, but for the other guys, Roger Clemens and McGwire and Sosa, they don't have a chance. First of all, McGwire testified before Congress and utterly denied that he was taking performance-enhancing drugs. And then apparently test results came back saying that he did. When you lie before Congress, I don't care who you are or what you've done, you should never be eligible for anything. You shouldn't be eligible to be a millionaire. That's the way I look at it. He should be arrested. or of a certain sense, because you lie before Congress, you deny taking performance-enhancing drugs, and, it's just pathetic. It's pathetic. There's no reason for that. And it's a shame because I used to grow up idolizing Mark McGwire in a sense because he was a very popular player during the late 90s where everybody felt like he was going to break the single-season record for home runs, which he did eventually, and then later on Barry Bonds broke it. And it's funny because Sammy Sosa was in the same race with him that same year. So, baseball to me has been so corrupted with, players coming out and saying they took this. And it's a shame because some of these guys I grew up idolizing, Mark McGwire and Sosa and Rafael Palmeiro and Alex Rodriguez, who I really, really admired, probably more than any other baseball player in the history of the game. And when he came out and said that just kind of that kind of really, really, really struck a nerve in me, because I'm thinking this guy was just such a phenom. How can you come out and say those things and end up doing what you did? Unbelievable. Yeah, people are going to move on from that eventually, but again, you just unbelievable. Unbelievable. To this day, I'm still kind of stricken with that, because it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. This guy had been a fan favorite. People loved him, and it's just unfortunate. Unfortunately. But, hey, win some, you lose some, and you move on, and, you know, you can only do what you can. And, you know, it's just bad. It's just bad. It's just bad. I want to get into some NHL. Yeah, like I said, the Rocket Sports Breakdown, we're going to break the wall. We're going to break down the barrier. We're not just going to talk, you know, football and basketball like I mostly did on the Black Rocket Blast. We're going to jump into all sports, every piece of it. For the NHL, my hometown team, the Red Wings, they signed their 2011 second-round draft pick, Thomas Jerko, to a 3-year contract. He's expected to join the Detroit's American Hockey League affiliate in Grand Rapids this upcoming season. So I want to say congratulations to him, and good luck to him this upcoming season and beyond. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a good thing for the team. That's a good thing for the team. The Red Wings are a team that's always been in the playoffs. They always are competing every year. They never disappoint. They do what they can, and I'm happy for them. Jeff Skinner signed a 6-year, $34 million extension. Whew, that's a lot of money. So he will remain with the Tampa Bay Hurricanes through the 2018-19 season. 20 years old, by the way. He had 1 year remaining on his entry-level contract. So this contract means that the 2010-11 NHL rookie year will stay. So good for him. He's had 51 goals and 56 assists in 146 games played at the NHL level. So congratulations to him. 20 years old, and this cat's about to make some good money. $34 million is a lot of money. So a guy like me, that's a fortune. That is a fortune. We do have one injury report right now. The Philadelphia Flyers defenseman Andre Lazaros has undergone surgery to repair a torn Achilles tendon. He will be out indefinitely. This is another blow to the Flyers defense, because their captain, Chris Pronger, who a lot of people felt like is the best player on their team, he's still suffering post-concussion syndromes. He may not even be back, maybe even for the upcoming season. So he may not even play in 2012, and that's just bad news for Philly. There's no timetable for Mazzaro's return. So we'll see what happens. The surgery was performed Tuesday. It occurred last week during his summer training in Slovakia. He's 26 years old. He's the same age as me. He's had 7 goals and 18 assists while playing 62 games last year, which was his 7th year in the league. So it's a bad blow to an upcoming Philadelphia Flyers team. It's unfortunate that it's happened. You know, injuries come about in sports these days, and when a player gets hurt, it can be devastating to a team. It can be very, very devastating to a team. Now, everybody knows that the NFL and the NBA worked out their issues with their player, with their players' associations. Now, the NHL is in the midst of doing the same thing. According to Yahoo.com, the NHL and the NHL Players Association agree that there's still more than enough time to reach a new labor deal, even though the union has yet to submit a counteroffer with less than 6 weeks left before the current collective bargaining agreement expires. So time, I guess you could say, is running short. So September the 15th is the approximate deadline. So hopefully things will come out. Now, keep in mind, the NHL had went through a lockout a few years ago. So this is something that they don't want to happen again. It's a big concern. It's a serious situation. And like I said, it's a serious time in sports considering that you already had the NBA and the NHL go through this. Who knows, baseball could be going through the same thing as well. And the NHL is now going through this as at this exact moment. Talks have been negotiated, and something needs to be done. If you're a big hockey fan, you want to see some hockey this upcoming season. So, you know, get it together and you know, do what you have to do. Do what you have to do. The time is now 8 o'clock. Getting ready to take some we're taking calls. You know, we've got one more hour left. 347-327-9586 is the call-in number. Feel free to call in and, you know, discuss with me. You know, I'm having fun right now. I'm enjoying my time. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. So, you know, this is it. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown. This is what we do. And, you know, take it from me. I enjoy doing this. I really do. words can't describe how great I feel. Like I said, I'm still working the kinks out, so my apologies with you that it's not perfect-esque. You know, I'm doing what I can do, but, you know, this is it. This is it. This is the moment that we enjoy. These are the moments that we enjoy. So, you know, I'm having fun. I'm having fun. And like I said, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. So, again, we're taking calls, 347-327-9586. I'm about to get into my main event topic, which is, are you ready for some football, part one? This is going to be part one to what will be a two-parter for this particular topic, just for the simple fact that now we're getting ready to get into the preseason. We already had our first preseason game take place this past Sunday evening, which is the Hall of Fame game between the Saints and Cardinals. And the Saints won the game, but there have been some concerns with the offense's consistency. So we'll see what this team can do. We'll see what this team can do. But if you're a Cardinals fan, you got to be concerned with your quarterback. The Saints, yeah, they apparently injured Kevin Cobb, but it was legal, it was clean. I didn't see nothing dirty about it. Kevin Cobb suffered what looked to be a very rather serious injury, and this is a guy who a lot of people feel like is kind of fragile in a sense because he's taken some hits. And, again, this is a guy that this Cardinals team had invested in. They made a trade for him with the Philadelphia Eagles two seasons just a year ago. They brought him in. They felt like this guy was going to be ready to be an eventual quality starting quarterback, and that really hasn't happened. In fact, John Skelton, who was their backup, if I'm not mistaken, he won more games as a starter than Cobb did. So we have a quarterback controversy in Arizona as far as I'm concerned, because anytime a backup wins more games than a starter, that is an issue. There is a quarterback controversy. Say what you want, but that's just the way it is. You know, you can't take away from the likes of what this team is going to go through, but, you know, again, it's a quarterback controversy. What about controversy? And in this game, Cobb had a hard time. He got up to a rough start. He threw an interception on his first pass. And on the third series of the game, this is when he suffered his injury. He bruised his ribs. He didn't come back. And it looks like they're going to depend on the preseason action between these two guys after figuring out who their quarterback is going to be for the upcoming season. And again, that's a good thing because that really, really ups the tempo a little bit, and that really, really can jumpstart things between two quarterbacks who are trying to compete for a starting job. Cobb ended up suffering a bruise in his chest, and, you know, it was difficult for him to move, but he is expected to practice this week. Skelton came in, took over, completed 4 of 6 passes for 32 yards. So, I mean, pretty solid to me. Completion percentage, pretty good. But it's preseason action, so can he maintain it? Can he bounce from that? Can he play better from that? Remains to be seen. So there's going to be lots of talks in Arizona revolving their quarterback situation as far as I'm concerned. We already know what the Saints are going through right now. And as far as I'm concerned, I think it's going to be another year of Drew Brees putting up big numbers because they're going to have to. This is a team that really relies on their offense to win games. When they're on the field, as long as they are, they know how to pick apart any defense. Any defense will struggle going up against a team like this. And even though they lost a few pieces in the offseason, again, like I said earlier, anytime you have a Drew Brees on your team, you're going to compete year in and year out. Every week, you're going to have a chance to beat somebody because he is one of the top 3 quarterbacks of the game. I put him up there with Brady and Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers as, like, the top 4 passers in the game. So, you know, say what you want, but Drew Brees is an elite passer, and this is a guy who came from the University of Purdue. Not too many people really, really gave him a chance because he was small. He was only 6'1", but, you know, he ever since he came over to the New Orleans Saints, he really, 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 really jump-started his career. And it kind of started back in San Diego, you know, the team that drafted him. But when he got his chance to start, he got off to a pretty solid start, especially back in the 2004 season where he did put up some big numbers and took the Chargers to the postseason. So, again, expectations are going to be high on him. So we'll see what this team can do. We'll see what the Cardinals can do as far as their quarterback controversy is concerned. They already got their wide receiver to throw the ball to, so we'll see what happens. Speaking of the Eagles, the team that Kevin Cobb was traded from, it hadn't been a great offseason for them as far as personal issues are concerned. Andy Reid, their head coach, he lost his son who passed away a few days ago. He had the funeral recently. He returned to practice. Andy Reid is just one of those guys that he's just a tough dude. You know, give him credit. I mean, a lot of people, particularly in Philadelphia, you know, their own Eagle fan base have called for his head for many, many years. He's a tough guy. He's the type of guy that bounces back from things pretty, pretty quickly, and he doesn't really let his emotions get the best of him. He's going to continue to do what he's going to do. He's going to coach because that's what he's supposed to do. So the way I see it, I'm happy to see him back in practice, and I'm looking forward to seeing what this Eagles team is going to do because expectations were high on them last offseason when they made all those moves in the offseason going after some of the big-name players. Vince Young made those ridiculous comments about the Dream Team. Funny thing is, Vince Young ain't on the team no more. He moved on to the Buffalo Bills, if I'm not mistaken. So as far as I'm concerned, expectations are going to be higher on this team. And there's going to be a lot of expectations in that division. I think the NFC East is going to be the most highly anticipated division in the NFL this upcoming season because all 4 of those teams are going to have big expectations. The Redskins drafting Robert Griffin III, what is he going to do? How well is he going to succeed? What's he going to look like his rookie year? Because he's going to be the starter. And anytime he drops a rookie quarterback, and keep in mind, they traded up to the second overall pick with the Rams to get this guy. So there's going to be an X on this team's back because of this particular move and what they're going to do to establish from that. So expectations are going to be high on them just for that simple situation as far as what they're going to do this upcoming season and beyond. the Dallas Cowboys. Well, expectations have always been high on this team, always, because, you know, America's team, people still call them that to this day. And Tony Romo, a lot of people feel like Tony Romo is a quarterback that if he hasn't jumped the next level as far as being a super elite, he should do it eventually, just for the simple fact that he does have some targets to throw the ball to. He does have a solid defense. This is a team that threw some games last year that just, you know, they let teams come back and beat them. It started in week one with the Jets, where third quarter, Tony Romo tried to go for a quarterback sneak, fumbled the ball, and the Jets recovered, and they scored a touchdown on the following drive, and Romo had a chance to redeem himself late in the game, threw an interception to Darrell Revis, who was covering Dez Bryant, and it was bad because, first of all, Dez Bryant had looked like an ankle injury, and he was out there on the field. Let me tell you something. If you're a wide receiver with an ankle injury, you don't need to be out there in the football field because you can't run. And you saw on that play, Dez Bryant couldn't run. He could not run. He just looked helpless out there, and Romo threw the ball to him anyway and got picked off for his troubles, and the Jets went on to win that game. The game against Detroit, they were up 27-3 in the third quarter. You would have thought that game was over, and it should have been. It should have been. Romo got it to a great start. Threw three touchdowns, two of them, the first two to Dez Bryant, threw the third one in the third quarter to Jason Witten to increase the lead, and from then on, they scored 3 points the rest of the game. Romo threw three interceptions, the first two returned for touchdowns. One of them, which is the first, his former teammate, Bobby Carpenter, former Cowboy, who's now a New England Patriot, but played well in Detroit last year, returned an interception for a touchdown. The other one, Chris Houston. And then the third one was an interception to Stephen Tulloch, who leaped in the air and made an incredible defensive play. And not to mention the fact that Dallas' defense had no answer for Calvin Johnson. He caught two touchdown passes in the game. The first one was just amazing. Both of them were amazing, but the first one, the fact that he caught the ball between three defenders, had a 7-foot wingspan, I mean, had great airtime, just leaped in the air and threw it. I mean, that just shows the type of confidence that Stafford has in him. And like I've been saying for years, anytime you have a big receiver like him, throw the ball, he'll go up and get it. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. And, again, shame on the Cowboys for giving up that game. And they had a chance to win it. Romo got sacked at the end, and that was it. And, you know, the two games against the Giants, they had a chance to win both of those games, and they blew it. Who knows what would have happened if that was the Cowboys in the postseason and not the Giants, because you go back to Week 17 at the end of last year. Whoever won the game would not only win the NFC East, but they will be in the postseason. And you have to wonder, what would have happened if that was the Cowboys? Could the Cowboys have gone all the way and won the Super Bowl? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? So expectations will be high on them this year, so we'll see what they can do. I'm expecting DeMarcus Ware to have another big year because he is the best defensive player on that team. He's the anchor, bar none. He's the anchor. So with him, that defense is going to look spectacular. That defense is going to have a chance to play well. So we'll see what they can do. As far as the Eagles are concerned, you already know what kind of expectations are going to be high on them. Bouncing back from a disappointing year last year, Michael Vick. To me, this is Michael Vick's last opportunity to really get things going. We'll see what he can do. We'll see what he can do. As far as I'm concerned, I think that this is his last chance to really elevate himself into a better passer. We'll see what they can do, offense and defense. But I've been saying this for years. The Eagles are going to have to continue to run the ball more. But you know how Andy Reid is. He's going to throw that ball like there's no tomorrow. That's what he does. That's what he does. And we'll see what type of year DeSean Jackson has. We'll see what type of year that defense has. That's a defense that likes to blitz. So we'll see what this defense can do and how well they can do it. So as far as I'm concerned, we shall see what this defense is capable of this upcoming year. just for the simple fact that we'll find out what their strengths and what their weaknesses are. And, of course, the defending Super Bowl champion Giants. Nobody gave them a chance, including me. I didn't think they'd make the postseason. I really didn't think. Because here's the thing, they got off to a good start last year, but you just kind of saw, like, okay, does this look like a team that's going to go to a Super Bowl and win? And to be honest with you, when they went to Green Bay and won in the second round, I'm thinking, okay, I think they got a shot. I really think they got a shot. But San Francisco really took it to them. And then when they got a chance to face the Patriots in the rematch, I was like, well, it could be deja vu. And it happened all over again, pretty much. So I tip my hat off to the Giants for doing what they did. I wrote an article about it. You can find it on the Rocket blog, which is on the blog website. You can also see it on my page, which is facebook.com/ChristianRocketAdamsFanSupport. You have to scroll down. I reverted to the whole timeline thing, so you can see it. It's back on, it was submitted back in, I would say March, February. Actually, yeah, around March, around that time. So you have to scroll down on my page and look for it, but it's on there. So we'll see what kind of expectations. Now, if you're a team like the Redskins, a team that's kind of like at the bottom of the barrel compared to those other three teams, you beat the Giants twice last year. So that's something that should kind of give you a little something to build on, you know, going into the season. So to me, all four of those teams have shown that they are capable of beating each other. They compete against each other hard. I mean, these are rivalries that have been going on for years. The Eagles and Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Cowboys, Redskins, Cowboys, Giants, Giants, Redskins. I mean, it's been long lasting. It's been long lasting. So I'm kind of interested to see what's gonna happen. And I think the preseason will tell us everything we need to know about these particular teams, who's going to be in first place and who's going to have productive seasons. But it starts now. It starts now. We got some preseason games that are going to be airing tomorrow. Congratulations, real quickly, I got to say, congratulations to the 2012 NFL Hall of Fame inductees, including Curtis Martin, who became the first running back in NFL history to run for over 1,000 yards in his first 11 seasons. And in 2000, and I believe it was 2005, he ran, won the NFL rushing title and did it at the age of 31, by the way. Amazing. Amazing. Curtis Martin, to me, was always an underlooked running back. Always, always underlooked. He never got the full appreciation like Emmitt Smith or Barry Sanders, Walter Payton and Jim Brown. He was just kind of like that running back that was under the radar, but he was great. He was great to run. When he played in New England, when he played in New York with the Jets, he was just phenomenal to run. And I just think about his accomplishments, you know, what he was able to do, how well he ran, and the type of runner he was. He was a guy that could go up the middle. He could also cut to the outside. He was just, you know, great to run. He was great to watch. I'm sorry, just a great runner, and you know, he was just very, very underrated. You could say he was the most underrated back in the history of the game. Just phenomenal, just phenomenal. As far as I'm concerned, I know he's been retired for a while now, and you know, I want to say best wishes to his future endeavors and anything he does football-related, especially football-related, because it's hard to lead the game. It's hard to lead the game as a player or a coach, a general manager, no matter what. It's hard. It's very hard to lead the game. But getting back to some of these teams and what their expectations this offseason, I'm kind of anxious to see what these teams are going to do. And I'm looking forward to seeing what this preseason is going to look like for a lot of these teams. Quarterback controversies, running back controversies, who's going to be the starters, who's going to make the team first and foremost. You know, who's going to make the team, who doesn't make the team, and who moves on to a different team, or who gets traded, who leaves in free agency, or who gets cut, who moves on, that type of thing. It happens. It happens. But as far as I'm concerned, I want to see how well these teams perform under pressure when everything is against them. When everything is against them. And, you know, I'm anxious to see. Now, speaking of two teams in that division in particular, a former player, well, a player who was a former Cowboy and a former Eagle, Terrell Owens is back in the NFL again. He practiced with the Seattle Seahawks today, who signed him to a one-year contract. To me, it was a good move. I know a lot of people are saying, well, why would you bring a guy like him in? Trust me, it's a good move. First of all, that team is lacking in depth with the wide receiving core. They cut Mike Williams. They also cut another one of their former wideouts. They just signed Braylon Edwards, but Braylon Edwards is coming off an injury-plagued season. So there's no telling what he's going to look like right now as he continues to get himself back into a rhythm. So you bring in Terrell Owens, who, you know, he's been out of the NFL for a year. He went over into another professional league to compete. But say what you want about the guy, but he keeps himself in great shape. That's something you never have to worry about him. He's 37, 38 years old, but he keeps himself in phenomenal shape. And he's a guy that looks good as a prototypical wide receiver. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to look like in this offense, because this is a team that's still kind of figuring out who their starting quarterback is going to be long term. Yes, they named Matt Flynn their starting quarterback for the preseason. That's just for the preseason. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be the starting quarterback come week one. We'll have to see what he can do. And I will be the first to tell you that he's going to have a lot of weight on his shoulders, just for the simple fact that this is going to be his first real starting stint. Yeah, he did start one particular game last year, week 17, you know, with the Packers when he played in Green Bay. But, you know, when you throw all the chips at one guy, all the marbles, and you're being asked to start a full 16-game season, we're going to see what you're going to do. And I'm anxious to see what type of chemistry is going to be like between Terrell Owens and Pete Carroll. To me, that's going to be quite an interesting relationship. Pete Carroll has always been a rah-rah guy. He's always been an uppity, you know, cheerful, carefree guy. And I'm anxious to see what that type of relationship is going to look like. that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun to watch. And I think that these guys are, they look like they're going to have some fun together, but we'll see. We'll see. That division to me, you know, there's going to be a little bit of some competitiveness. I think the Seahawks, if all goes accordingly well, they could maybe finish third or maybe even second in their division. Terrell Owens' former team, the 49ers, they brought they signed Randy Moss. Now, Randy Moss is, you know, like Owens, missed a year in the NFL. He was out for a year. He'll be back. He's younger. He's about 3 or 4 years younger than Owens, but they're both kind of neck and neck in the same situation as not being the best teammates ever. You know, guys that have kind of bounced around a few teams. Keep in mind, Owens played for San Francisco, played for Philadelphia, he played for Dallas, he played for Buffalo, he played for Cincinnati. So this will be his sixth team that he's playing on. Randy Moss, this will be his fourth. Yep, because he played for Minnesota, he played for New England, Oakland, Tennessee. No, I'm sorry, wait, this will be his 15. And when you think about what's going to happen, when you think about what's going to happen, when you think about what this team is going to do, this team got off to a phenomenal start last year. They were 13-3, and expectations have been high on them for quite a few years now. You go back to maybe from 2007, 2008, a lot of people wonder, well, what is this team going to do? You know, they drafted Frank Gore. They had drafted Vernon Davis, and Alex Smith was a former number one overall pick, and he looked like a monumental bust before last year. He only threw 17 touchdowns, but he didn't throw a lot of interceptions. He managed the game. He protected the ball. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. So that comes from good coaching. So give Jim Harbaugh a lot of credit. That comes from good coaching. But that defense, to me, really deserves the limelight because that defense could get after teams. That defense could get after teams. And, you know, when he did get the ball, he was able to get the ball to Vernon Davis. He's able to get the ball quite a bit to Michael Crabtree, who expectations are high on him as well. Frank Gore, when he runs the ball well, that offense looks phenomenal. So expectations are going to be even higher on them. They were one or two plays away from reaching the Super Bowl last year. So imagine that. Imagine that. I think they might have a chance to really, really get there this year. But the NFC, to me, is going to be a little bit more competitive because you got about maybe eight legitimate contending teams that are really, really going to try and break down the wall and see what they're made of and see what their opponents are made of. So I think a lot of these teams are really going to beat each other up, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be some extreme competitiveness as opposed to what we've witnessed before. You thought it was competitive a year ago. It's going to be even bigger now just for the simple fact that these teams are trying to better themselves and do whatever it takes to reach that next level. And watching from last year, watching now, and watching later, it's going to be a dogfight. To me, it's not going to be that one dominant team. I think we're going to see about maybe four or five teams that really have a chance to really, really get to the big bowl. So this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun, and I'm just so excited to see this. I'm excited. Well, we already talked about the Arizona Cardinals and their quarterback situation. We'll see what they can do. I mean, I was listening to Darren Woodson on SportsCenter today. He says this is a team that a lot of people should kind of be aware of. And I'm like, well, look, if they get their quarterback situation together, yeah, they could be a frightening team. But until then, you can't take a team like that seriously because you don't know who the quarterback is going to be. We don't really know. It's neck and neck, and we won't find out until week one of the regular season or the week leading up to the regular season opener. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. As far as I'm concerned, I just look at it like, well, I know they got Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah, you're going to have a great wide receiver, but you have to have the quarterback to get him the ball. Benny Wells should perform better this year as he works his way into the upper echelon of running backs. But that defense needs to get its act together. That defense needs to play better. And in all three phases, the defensive line, the linebackers, and the secondary needs to play better. Ken Winston Hunt, to me, should be on a hot seat this upcoming season. If they don't get the job done, he should be fired. That's plain and simple. Plain and simple. They don't get it done this year. Just keep in mind, they invested in Kevin Cobb. They traded for the guy. They traded for him. So he is going to have quite a lot to work with, and he's going to have his work cut out for him this year. So if they don't get it done, we may see Ken Winsenhunt not coach this Arizona Cardinals team beyond 2012. So the other team, the St. Louis Rams, well, they got their head coach in Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher is back in the NFL after being out for quite a while. This is not going to be like the Tennessee Titans teams he's coached because he's really, really starting at the bottom. And I know they got Sam Bradford as their quarterback. He's also, like Alex Smith, a former number one overall pick. Steven Jackson, still one of the best power runners in the game. But they need some wide receivers. They need to elevate their defense. I know they brought in Courtland Finnegan, who played under Jeff Fisher in Tennessee, who he's kind of like a solid corner. I wouldn't say he's a dominant or a great cover corner, but He still has time to put all that together and work on his mechanics, but he's going to get his chances because you're going to be in a division where you're going to be going up against Randy Moss, you're going to be going up against Terrell Owens, and you're going to be going up against Larry Fitzgerald. So you're going to be covering those guys, and you're going to be asked to face them one-on-one. So we will see what he's made up, and we'll see what this team is made up. But I think they're going to finish last place just for the simple fact that those other three teams are simply better. And, again, you're starting from the bottom and working your way up. So as far as I'm concerned, I think they might surprise a few teams this year, but this is a team that needs to get back to really running the football and really revamping and reshaping that defense. So we'll see what they can do. I'm kind of anxious to watch this team perform myself, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do. And I just look at it like, well, when you're a young team who is under the radar, nobody's really paying attention to you, sometimes that's where you play your best football. That's where you play your best because nobody's watching you. Nobody's really saying, hey, that team's going to be great. That team's going to compete for a championship this year. So be it. So be it. But the St. Louis Rams really have their work cut out for them. And to me, it's going to come down to what they do on the offense and what they do on the defense. Going to the NFC. Well, actually, let's flip over to the AFC just for a little bit, the AFC West. And to me, there's only one name that has been the talk of the town in that particular division, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, he moves from one horse team to another. He jumped ship from the Indianapolis Colts to the Denver Broncos this past offseason after being cut by Indy since being there as a rookie in 1998. Hey, all great eras must come to an end. Some players don't always play with one team, and, you know, Peyton Manning got cut. It's not like he chose to leave. He got cut. It happens, you know. They were going to draft Andrew Luck as the number one overall pick. They did. So what did you do? Well, you bump a former number one overall pick for another. And I think coming off the injury that he had, I mean, he had about 3 to 4 neck surgeries. Yeah, that will cause a team to cut somebody and decide to move on for the future. And if you're the Indianapolis Colts, you have to. You have to. And they kind of reflated it, starting from scratch a little bit, I see. So when you're the veteran quarterback, what happens? You move on. You know, they're changing coaches, they're changing quarterbacks. So this is going to be a completely different Indianapolis Colts team. It's going to be a completely different era. But as far as the Denver Broncos are concerned, well, they basically bumped Tim Tebow. They brought in Peyton Manning to be their quarterback for the next 5 years. I think this is a move that John Elway desperately had to make because he felt like with Peyton Manning, he has a chance to win a Super Bowl, not Tim Tebow. I don't think they should have traded Tebow, though. What I would have done was keep Tebow on the roster, make him a backup, have him learn from Peyton Manning because there's no better quarterback to learn to throw from than Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning would have made a perfect teacher to Tim Tebow to help him with his mechanics, to help him understand his passing mechanics, his accuracy, throwing the ball consistently well. And I think Elway made a mistake by trading him. I felt like that was a boneheaded decision. I felt like it was boneheaded of the Jets to really come in and try and steal him away. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, so we'll see what happens this year. But I really feel like the Denver Broncos are going to have the work cut out for them as far as bringing in a guy like Tim Tebow, a guy like Peyton Manning. But I wouldn't put them automatically up there as, you know, the team to beat until we see what he can do with that team and with that set of receivers because they really don't have a dominant wideout. They don't have a dominant tight end. I know they got Willis McGahee, but they're going to need more than that to produce. But Peyton Manning is the type of passer that can play with any receiver, like Brett Favre, will make any receiver better, any receiver look good. So we'll see what happens. But I think it's going to be neck and neck between the Broncos. I think the San Diego Chargers are going to have a chance to compete. To me, this is a team that They lost a lot of games last year they should have won. Period. And I think that the situation, point being, is the fact that, well, you know, if you think about it, it could have easily been a playoff team had they not blown some of their games and had they not lost the games they should have won. Phillip Rivers, to me, is going to bounce back this year because he still has a lot to prove that he can and will be still one of the top passers in the game, top five, top ten, well, more like a top ten, really. I think that their defense is going to need some help. They're going to be hurt by the loss of Vincent Jackson, who moved on to Tampa Bay as a free agent. So that's going to be tough on them as far as what they're going to do and you know, what type of expectations are going to be on this team. So I would say maybe second place for them. Who knows? We'll see. They always seem to play Denver very well, especially recently over the years. So who knows? It could come down to those two teams. But I think one particular team is going to have a lot to say is the Oakland Raiders. I know they don't have Hugh Jackson anymore as their head coach. Carson Palmer is going to get a full season under his belt, hopefully. They don't have Michael Bush anymore, and I think that's going to hurt their running game. I know they still got Darren McFadden, but Michael Bush was such a good power runner. That's going to hurt them. That's really, really going to hurt them. I just think that their defense is what's going to be the main question mark. How good will they be in man-to-man coverage? Because they proved that in certain games last year that was something that they couldn't really do. Keep in mind, they lost some home games last year. They lost 28-0 to Kansas City. They lost a close one to Denver. They lost a very close one to Detroit in the last few minutes of that game. You have to be able to protect home field. And losing games at the Coliseum, not very good for the Oakland Raiders. Not good for their fan base. It's not really good for them. Take it for what it's worth. You got to understand that this team is going to have quite a bit on their shoulders as far as what they're going to do and how well they're going to do it. So we'll see what they can do. 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 I think the Kansas City Chiefs are another team that's going to have a lot to prove, and I think they're still trying to figure out their whole quarterbacking situation. Matt Castle, to me, is kind of like the same situation as Kevin Cobb. You know, he looked well at times as a backup in his former team, you know, with the Patriots. Comes over to the Kansas City Chiefs 2 years ago, and 2 years ago he looked well. He looked really, really good. But they're going to need more out of that. They're going to need more out of that from him to see where he stands. Jamaal Charles, he, to me, is going to have the most to prove on this team. Just the simple fact that he got hurt in the second game of the year last season, I would know. I was watching the game between Kansas City and Detroit. He got hurt running into the mascot out of bounds, suffered an Achilles, a torn Achilles, missed the rest of the year. Now, that being said, I expect him to bounce back. I expect him to play better. Dwayne Bowe, he's expected to sign his what looks like it's going to be a one-year tender offer to stay in Kansas City. So you got your skilled players. Now you just got to get the quarterback to get those guys the ball. So we'll see what they can do. We'll see what they can do. As far as where they stand concerns, I would say – maybe third place, maybe fourth, who knows. But that division is going to be very interesting to compete in. I really think that, that division, to me, is always competitive. It was competitive last year, for one being an 8-18, won the division and got a chance to host a playoff game. So that says something right there. So I expect the Denver Broncos to be better just because Peyton Manning is just a better quarterback than Tim Tebow is, even though Manning didn't play last year. But still, you got to look at the numbers. You got to look at the amount of success. So we'll see what happens. Now, speaking of Tebow, he's in the AFC East this time. You move from the West to the East now. Well, I think the name to describe the Jets training camp so far should be called Rumble in the Bronx. And as far as I'm concerned, they have been really, really fighting for the past couple of days, and that's just common. You know, players are itching to get back on the field. Players are itching to hit. Players are itching to make plays. Players are itching to do all the little things that you do in football. And sometimes a fight is going to break out. Brawls are going to break out, and, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, be that as it may, these teams, you know, are just looking to see what they can do. So anytime you have a head coach who talks as much as Rex Ryan does, some of the player personalities that they have on that team, yeah, we'll see what they can do. But they're not the talk of the state now. It's the Giants. And until the Jets win another Super Bowl and, you know, do what they need to do, nobody's really going to take them serious. And this could be another year in which, you know, it's going to be up and down or whatever. You know, who knows what they're going to do? Who knows what they're going to accomplish? And it's funny. When Tim Tebow was officially traded to the Jets this offseason, I remember Drew Stanton, who used to quarterback Detroit, you know, former quarterback coming out of Michigan State, was on the team. He signed a one-year contract with the team this offseason to compete for the backup role or maybe even a starter. When Tim Tebow got traded, Stanton wanted out. And that just kind of says something right there. So he got traded to the Indianapolis Colts, where it looks like he's going to be the backup to Andrew Luck. And I just look at it like, well, you know, I was really, really laughing at that whole situation. Because some players just take it as an insult. Some players just take it as an insult, and, you know, some players just, you know, they take it seriously because they expect to compete for a starting job. They expect to at least have a chance to not be a backup, but at least be a starter. Not be a starter, at least be a backup. So you look at some of these players, and anytime someone gets traded over in a certain sense, in a certain position, yeah, a lot of players are going to really, really, really have an issue with that, a real, real serious issue. It's like, you know, Marion Barber, who was part of the Chicago Bears team last year, and when they brought over Michael Bush, he took that as an insult, and it looks like he's done, at least for now anyway. Who knows what's going to happen with the rest of his career or with the rest of his life for that matter. But the point being is players take situations like this extremely serious because you never know what's going to happen with teams. You never know. You never know. And I tell guys this all the time. When you are part of an organization which is specifically, you know, designed to help better you, and that organization brings in somebody else to maybe kind of jump kick the competition, yeah, you're going to take things like that personal. You're going to take things like that personal. And, you know, I can understand why Drew Stanton had a reason to leave the Jets or whatever, but it is what it is. But to me, the talk of that division is going to be the New England Patriots just for the fact that you got Belichick, you got Brady. And anytime you have those two together, you're always going to have a chance to compete for the Super Bowl. The Patriots really, really revamped their defense in the NFL draft, which they always do. They always make, you know, they always have a lot of draft picks. They make a lot of these moves and stuff like that. They're not afraid to push buttons. They're not afraid to pull triggers. I'm anxious to see what they're going to do. The whole Wes Welker thing has really been a major talk this offseason as far as restructuring his contract and things of that nature. So as long as he stays in the Patriots uniform, that also will help things up. And he needs to bounce back. He's going to have to bounce back from a disappointing Super Bowl performance, you know, as far as dropping passes and not making the clutch catches that we're used to seeing him make since being with the Patriots in 2007. The Buffalo Bills, to me, may have made the best moves in that division during the offseason. You bring in Robert Meacham to help your wide receiving corps, but you've got the best defensive player available. And Mario Williams from the Houston Texans. Now, keep in mind, Mario Williams was hurt the first quarter of last season after the first three or four games, and the Texans still managed to keep the top-ranked defense. Unbelievable. Even after he got hurt, unbelievable. So imagine what he could do for that Buffalo Bills defense, which looked real sharp at times last year. They were the type of team that when they forced turnovers, they were very, very difficult to beat. But they need to keep the poise going and not be in situations where they're having to come back from behind to win football games. Because if you think about it, they lost a lot of games last year just for the simple fact that teams pounced on them early. They were fortunate to come back and beat teams like the Patriots and, you know, the Raiders, you know, coming back from being down by double digits big in those games. You have to understand now that in this situation, you can't afford to do that. Then again, no lead is safe. However, you just can't do that. You can't allow yourself to be in those particular situations. So I'll be the first to tell you, you cannot allow those particular things to happen. So think about it. Think about it. A team that is capable of, you know, having good offense and having a good defense, you got to step up and do what needs to be done. And rest assured, we'll see what that team can do. We'll see what this Buffalo Bills team can do. But I promise you, this team is going to be better. And when you bring in the best defensive player available in the offseason, that helps your team be better. So we'll see what they can do. And we'll see what their defense is capable of. As far as the Miami Dolphins are concerned, they're still trying to figure out who their quarterback situation is going to be, who their quarterback is going to be. Now, I know that they named David Garrard their starting quarterback, but they got Tannehill, and, you know, they feel like they're confident about what his future looks like and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll see what they can do. We'll see what they can do, but they're not going to be anywhere higher than maybe third place. I got them finishing fourth. I got the Jets coming in at three. I got the Bills coming in at two. And I got the Patriots coming in at number one. So that's how I think the AFC East is going to look like. In the AFC North, well, it's been quite a rocky offseason for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just for the simple fact that the quarterback and the offensive coordinator have not exactly been on the same page. Their longtime former wide receiver has retired, and another wide receiver is not even on the team right now. He's not even in camp. I really think they need to work out this whole deal and get Mike Wallace back as soon as possible, because without him, they're not going to be a dominant team like they have been over the years. They're not going to have a dominant offense. They're not going to be sufficient on that side of the ball. And some of their defensive players are already getting older. James Harrison's beat up a little bit. Troy Polamalu's beat up. Look, at some point, you're going to have to kind of bring in some younger, fresher faces right now. And, you know, they still got Ryan Clark, who is still one of the better players at his position. But it can't be just him. They're going to need some players. And keep in mind, they let a lot of players go, including Larry Foote. My apologies. But they did let a few players go as far as their veterans are concerned. And that's going to be beaten. That's going to cause them to be beaten up quite a bit. Now, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, who one of your linebackers is already getting up there in age, Another one of your linebackers is going to miss probably half of the upcoming season because of an activity he took part in, you know, playing basketball, whatever. I don't have a problem with another, you know, with players doing what they want to do in the off season as far as playing basketball. If you get hurt playing basketball, that's just part of life. Terrell Suggs will bounce back. I mean, that's what he does. He'll bounce back from that, and, you know, he'll come back at some point this upcoming year and do his best to help the team. But the team, to me, to really look out for is the Cincinnati Bengals. Nobody gave them a chance last year, including me. I didn't think that they were going to make the postseason. I sure as hell didn't give them a chance. In fact, the fact that they got swept twice by Pittsburgh, they got swept twice by Baltimore, I'm just astounded at the fact that they were going to make the playoffs. So I'm just amazed. And, I'm amazed at what they're going to do. The Cleveland Browns, I know they drafted Trent Richardson. Of course, they're going to finish in last place because they're still trying to figure out the quarterback situation. And, come on, the Cleveland Browns, they're not going to be able to compete with the Steelers, Ravens, or Bengals this year. But we got a caller. We have a caller, 313-933-3611. What's going on?
What up, though, Rocky?
What's up? I was expecting you at some point tonight.
You know I had to stop by showing my boy some love. What's up, you know? What's up out there listening?
Appreciate it.
You know, I came in a little late.
No, don't feel too bad. I kind of started the show a little late. I'm still kind of working out the kinks a little bit, but I'm having some fun. I'm kind of getting adjusted to this whole thing.
I'm here with you, my dude.
This is pretty cool. Yeah, we got about a good 6 or 7 minutes left. But yeah, welcome to the show. I'm just kind of, you know, getting ready for this upcoming football season. I know a lot of people are ready for the season to start, including me. Preseason's getting ready to really, really jumpstart.
Man, I've been
tomorrow. We got some preseason games that are going to be airing tomorrow. One of them is the Saints and Patriots game, and both of those two teams had a joint practice these past few days. So that's going to be an interesting matchup.
I don't know if you talked about this already, but I want to see what the Lions is going to do, you know, being that they didn't got into so much trouble during the offseason.
Yeah, actually, so, I mentioned that with the whole situation involving Aaron Berry, who is no longer part of the team, you know, he got, you know, into trouble twice. Well, within a month span, maybe a few weeks span, they recently cut him not too long ago. And to me, they did the right thing. Discipline has to be, you have to be held accountable for your actions.
That's right.
You know, by cutting him, you know, that's going to send a message to the rest of the roster, you know, the entire locker room. You can't continue to do stupid stuff. You know, you gotta do what you got to do and everything. And, they did the right thing.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, it's about time they start putting their foot down, you know, and like you say, maybe everybody else will learn, you know, saying you make an example out of one person.
Oh, yeah, no question about it.
I tell my wife this all the time,
it.
You know, make an example out of one, the other one will learn.
Exactly. And, you know, you got to be held accountable for your actions. And, you know, that's just sent a message to the likes of Nick Fairley and Mikel Lashier, guys who also got in trouble this offseason, you know. You got to stay level-headed. Yeah, I know you're young, you're making a ton of money, and you're happy to be in the league, and you're happy to be on the team, but you got to be held accountable for your actions because you will be treated like men. And I remember Joe Theismann, who's a former legendary quarterback, said, this is a game for men, not for guys who think they're men. So
right.
You have to be held accountable for situations like that, and it's going to be an interesting offseason. We're almost running out of time. We got a few minutes left. I want to say good luck to all your teams. I didn't get to everybody, but this is just part one of the special Are You Ready for Some Football segment. Part two will be taking place next month prior to the regular season opener. Next week, we're going to have a few we're going to be back at it again next Wednesday, 7 to 9, and I will have the topic posted within the next few days, so bear with me. But, again, I thank everyone for tuning in. Thank you, Mr. X, for calling in. Appreciate your presence, as always. The Rocket Sports Breakdown, folks, this is the beginning. This is my other baby project I'm working on. So thank you. Thank you so much. And you guys take care of yourselves. I'll see you when I see you. And be safe out there. And, again, good luck to all your teams. And Be easy. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Peace.